can get that ready for us. Just a little illustration for a little bit later. Good morning, church. How are you guys doing this morning? It's such a privilege to be with you guys, and thank you so much, Greg and Dawn, Ryan and Jess, as well as Andrew and Pam and the eldership team and the deacons and those of you that are part of Grace Life. It's a privilege for us to be with you and to celebrate with you what God is doing. You know, life sometimes throws things at us, right? You're cruising along and you're like just moving along and things are going, and then bam! You get hit by something that you weren't expecting. Craig and Dawn yesterday, their clutch cable snapped on their car. They didn't plan for that. You know, sometimes it's a financial pressure that we find ourselves under. There's a relational breakdown. You thought things were going really great, but then for whatever reason, some things just didn't go the way that you were planning for it to happen. And this morning, I want to talk to us about the fact that the Bible doesn't ever guarantee that you and I will not experience storms and trials. If in actual fact, it kind of guarantees that we are going to have some storms. But what the Bible does give us is it does give us an encouragement and an instruction on how we are supposed to respond to these challenges. And the response we should be having is to learn how to stand firm. To stand firm together in what God has called us to. And I really want to encourage us that as you walk with God, the longer I've been walking with Jesus, the more I've realized that I need to learn how to rely on Him. Build my life on the rock of Jesus, being able to look to Him as the author and the finisher of my faith, the one who would sustain and lead me together. And so today we're going to be looking at a key text found in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. But just before that, in verse 13, Paul actually is writing to the Philippian church, and his circumstances, life's happened to him. He's actually in prison. And if you know a Roman prison, it wasn't like the ones that we have today, you know, where it's like, hey, you know, 3 square a day and all the things, you know, that our prisoners, I don't know what it's like, but yes, it's not so bad. But for Paul, he was actually in a hole. Not a lot of light, not a lot of life. And, you know, it's cold, it's dingy, it's stinky. And yet, in the midst of that, he's writing to a church and saying to them, I want to encourage you. I want to lift you up. And today, I hopefully, just want to tag on along with Paul and just encourage you in the same way. So let's read together in Philippians chapter 1, 27. It says, whatever happens. Can you say whatever? That means whatever happens, whether the sun is shining or it's raining, whether you are doing well, your bank balance is in the red or is in the black, whether you're feeling like you are on top of the world or you're feeling like you are actually being hit by the world. Whatever happens, do the following. Conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in this in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. This word, these two words, stand firm, they actually carry powerful significance. They're packed with power. And for the hearers of the Philippian church, if they heard Paul say stand firm, one of the pictures that would have come to mind for them was of a Roman legion, as soldiers coming together and taking their stand on the battleground, ready to advance together in the purposes that their kingdom would have. But they are not aligned to an earthly kingdom, an empire, trying to build something for themselves. They're actually aligned with a heavenly kingdom. And that is our encouragement today. So what does it mean to stand firm? And Paul, I'm going to just take this moment, this passage, and just unpack little bits of it for us this morning. He starts off, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Friends, this isn't about being perfect. That's not what he's calling us. He's actually calling us towards alignment. How are we able to stand together, aligned upon the same mission and the same vision, and be able to speak with the same heart and the same mind together? This alignment, we need to align ourselves with the gospel. We live a life that's worthy of the gospel. When people look at you and my life, do they say and they see, this person actually is living for Jesus? The gospel has so gripped their life that if I look at how they spend their time, their money, how they organize their lives, what they devote themselves to, is God isn't just an add-on to their life, but He is actually the very part and passion of their lives. And friends, I want to encourage you that the expression of our life with Christ does take on different forms, right? We're different. We've been given different gifts and abilities and different callings, but God has called us to live a life that is worthy of the gospel. So I want to ask you, when people look at your life, are you really a follower of Jesus? Can they say, oh, this person just attends and church is sort of added to their life, or is Christ the center of your life and God's word being able to be outworked in your life? He continues to say, friends, that I want to know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. You know, notice that Paul doesn't say stand firm by yourself. You know, just tough it out. You can do it. No, he says stand firm in one spirit together, striving side by side. This gives us the how and the who of standing firm. So how do we stand firm? In one spirit. Friends, it is about reliance upon the Holy Spirit's work, because it is a miracle of God that all of us, different as we are, can actually come together and accomplish something really awesome. But it's a work of God. It's a miracle. We lead a very diverse church. This is also a diverse room, that we live in a diverse country. And the only way that we can really see God's gospel and kingdom advance through all of us together is if we allow the Holy Spirit to do a work in us, aligning ourselves with God's word and His kingdom, coming under godly leadership and aligning our lives in greater measure. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, he says, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. We do not rely on our own strength, but we rely on our King who would do that for us. And I want to ask Ainsley to join me just to show a bit of an illustration that may help us to understand this point of standing firm together.
I just want to start by reading from Colossians 3, from verse 12. It says, since God chose you to be a holy people He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults. I'm thinking of husbands and wives and families. And forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. God gives us peace, but it's our responsibility to let the peace rule. It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And so just with this illustration, when you try to mix oil and water, oh good, I've got an assistant. Oil and water, we struggle to mix. And that sometimes happens in a marriage. It happens in a family. It happens in a church family. It happens in different areas. And so you put oil and water, and then you mix and you mix and you mix and you mix, and you try harder and you try harder and you try harder, and you struggle. After a while, it's like we're just not connecting. You know, connection, it's easy to live with each other but not connect. Have moments of connection, have moments of intimacy, have moments of connecting with one another. And so instead of trying harder and harder and harder, we need to add flour. Flour is the binding agent, where it says love. Love binds us together. And you got to add more and more and more and more flour, because if I leave this, as earlier we saw, after a while it separates again. But the more flour you add, eventually it becomes a paste. And you got to add Jesus. Jesus is the one that you need to add to your relationship. Jesus is the one, when you're struggling in a relationship, you got to say, Jesus, help me to be more like you. Help me to be clothed in love. Help me to see this person through the lens of love. Help them to see me through the lens of love. Help me to be clothed in love. And you add more and more of Jesus. And the more you become like Jesus, and the more the other person becomes like Jesus, the more you will become one with one another. So the more flour I'm going to add, eventually it's going to become a paste.
Friends, that's how we are the bread of life. The bread of life is broken for us. We are the body of Christ, and Jesus' body was broken for the blessing and the feeding of the nations. That is how you and I express standing firm together in one spirit, but also striving together as one together. Now, if we want to strive together, I want to use this illustration. Maybe for a moment, I'm going to ask you to shout out your favorite color on the count of three. One, two, three. Okay, there's only three people in front of that are passionate. Let's try this again. One, two, three. Could you hear anything of significance? We're all passionate about a lot of things, but we're not passionate often about the same things. Maybe for the sake of today, and I'm the person leading and I'm up here, I get a bit of control. I can do what I want. Let's say today my favorite color is orange. And on the count of three, I want you to shout out with me, orange. Are you ready? One, two, three.
Orange.
Okay, one more time. One, two, three.
Orange.
Let's whisper it. One, two, three. Friends, all of a sudden, what we are trying to say together is clearly understood, and all of us are part of what we're all trying to communicate. Friends, it's not about our preferences, but it's about the impact God wants to make. And in the church especially, friends, this is the reason why we struggle to really live a life. When people look at us, these people are living a life that's worthy of the gospel because they're striving together, is because too often we are shouting out what we are passionate about without aligning ourselves with the mission and the purpose that God has called us together to do. And it's going to be different at different seasons, at different times, but we've got to learn how to align ourselves with God. This is the power of a culture within a church and a community. And what happens is that when people are left to their own preferences, we drift and the message of the gospel isn't communicated clearly. And so I want to encourage us that when you and I walk wherever we would go, that people have this clear message that we exist to see people encounter God and make disciples. We want to see people come to know the fullness of the knowledge of Christ, becoming like Jesus in everything, that we would be able to experience that. It's not about preference, friends, but it's about purpose together. And so if we stand together, we are speaking with one heart, one spirit, and one mind. So if we are of one spirit, we are and we share in the same spirit who empowers and unites us. It's a work of the spirit that combines us, binds us together. It's impossible in our own strength, in our effort to be united. But it's by the Spirit that we are united. We can become of one heart where we have a shared passion. We have a shared love for God, a shared love for each other, and a shared love for a world that is lost and is in need. At the core, our desires and our affections are aligned, not with a leader's or a preference of person, but actually of Christ's heart. Because Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. We can come and become of one mind, friends. And that doesn't mean that we all think identically, right? If you've ever encountered this, you watch documentaries, you know, and you see how people, when people start talking the same, dressing the same, behaving the same, usually it's a sign of a cult, right? You're like, gee, this is not so good. All these guys, they've lost their identity, their individuality, and they are finding a sense of unity, but it's actually unhealthy. And in the kingdom of God, God wants us to remain diverse, but when we are speaking, when we are in our behavior, we're aligned not in the ways of the leaders, but in the ways of Christ. We're becoming like Christ. Jesus laid down his life. And so there are so many examples throughout the scriptures that encourages us to stand firm, friends. So many times I've been studying this for quite some while, and I've just been so encouraged to see how this encouragement should be embraced by us, and we should be thinking of every opportunity to do so. If you think of a tug of war team, you know, guys are going to pull a tow track. The Afrikaans guys will know what I mean. If you, as a team, if one person's pulling this way and the other one's pulling that way, that team will never, ever win the competition. They won't even be able to stand because people are pulling in all sorts of directions. But when they stand together and in unison, pull and pull and pull, they see the victory. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 to 13, 13 verse 13 to 14 says, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men. That means act like mature people. Let all that you do be done in love. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 says, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the traditions that you were taught by us, either by our spoken word or by our letter. As a church, friends, I want to encourage you. That's why we have a growth tracks and why we there's assimilation processes. So not so that we can all become robots just doing everything, but actually that wherever we're going, we're representing Christ and his kingdom and the values that God has for us. So when and why should you and I stand firm? Friends, it's so crucial that we understand that in this life, things do go wrong. But we've got to learn how to stand firm. And so when and how do we do that? First of all, we stand firm when the battle rages. When you are under attack, when you are under pressure, that is exactly when you need to be standing firm. That's exactly when we need to lean on what God has called us. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Sometimes standing firm feels like doing nothing. But friends, you are not doing nothing. You are holding, you're actively engaged in the mission of what God has. And when we resist the enemy, he will flee. His purposes and plans is to move us away from God's purposes and plan. But we must hold firm and hold fast. Charles Spurgeon said, to stand firm in the Lord is not to be passive, but to be firm in hope, fixed in purpose, and active in your faith. So we stand firm even when the battle is raging. We also stand firm in the midst of uncertainty. Friends, our world, things change with the stroke of a pen. We've experienced that. Somebody gets up one morning and writes a tweet and the stock markets crash and things go up and down. It happens so quickly. There's nothing we can really bargain on, but we can stand firm in this, that God promises are true, that he will sustain us, that he will keep us. And so we need to rely not on ourselves, but on Christ and his work in our lives. He is our unshakable rock. Tim Keller says, you don't really know Jesus is all you need until Jesus is all you have. And when he is all you have and you stand, you find that he is enough. And friends, I know that sometimes can feel like a bit of a broad statement. Of course, yeah, man, Jesus, yeah, man, is enough, yeah. But friends, the way we have Jesus stand as part of our lives is we live our lives according to his word. We fill our hearts and our minds with his word. We fellowship, we engage in what God is doing with us together that we may be able to express that more clearly. We stand firm, friends, because we are loved. Tyron Daniel said the following, friends, really understanding our identity, because this is what it's about. He said that there are three things that you and I can settle in our hearts and our lives. This is for sure. First of all, God loves you. He loves you enough to send his son to lay down his life that you would have eternal life. And not just, oh, cool, I'm going to heaven. No, I now have the Spirit of God living in me. I'm united with him. I'm seated with him in heavenly places above the powers and the principalities of this world. So I am loved. That is my identity. Secondly, you need to settle this fact that the devil hates you. He's not like upset with you a little. He's not just like, oh, I'm going to just give him a little bit of a hard time. He wants to destroy you. He wants to remove you from God's purposes and plans for your life. His purpose and plan is for you to not walk in God's purposes. And so understand that the devil is out to get you. But we have a king that has overcome the enemy. And thirdly, friends, you and I need to understand that everyone else may have a feel like there's a plan. They have a plan for your life. Everyone else may feel like, oh, in your workplace, your family members sometimes are like, why are you following God? Why your colleagues? Like, yes, man, we're facing retrenchments, and why are you not worried? It's like, well, I am worried, but I'm not allowing this to control my life. Uncertainty isn't something that I'm shaken by. I weather the storm. Blessed are the flexible, for they will not be broken. That's what God promises us. When things happen, we can stand firm knowing that we can take courage because we are loved. Beth Moore said, courage comes from a heart that is convinced it is loved. We can draw courage from Jesus. Next, friends, we can stand firm not for victory, but from victory. You don't have to try and win the battle. Jesus has already won the battle, but you've got to stand in the victory that he's given you. And that requires a renewal of the mind. That requires a complete change of life, priorities being shifted. Colossians chapter 12, verse 15 says, he has disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Jesus gave us all the victory, and we're called to stand firm in that victory. Tony Evans says, to stand firm, you must be dressed for battle, ready for battle, but you don't fight for victory. You fight from victory. And so it is an act of faith. We stand firm together. And then, friends, we stand firm and we don't let go of what has been given to us. Do you know what the promises of God are that he's given to you? Are you walking in the more of what God has for you? Because I want to tell you, friends, if you're not moving into more of God, there's no such thing as stagnation. You're either going backwards or you're moving forwards. And God wants us to stand firm in what he's already given us. Watchman Nee in his book, Sit, Stand, Walk, says the following. Our calling is not primarily to go or to do, but to stand, to hold fast to what Christ has already done for us. And so, friends, learning to abide in Jesus, to abide in his finished work, to abide in his presence, to allow him to lead us. And then lastly, friends, we stand firm because destiny is on the other side of difficulty. When you are experiencing trials, count it pure joy, brothers, James says, when you face trials of many kinds, because the tested genuineness of your faith will produce a harvest of righteousness. That's what God is about, what he wants to produce in your life, not just what you can sort of just make it easy and comfortable for you. And so every swordsman that works and tempers a sword, that sword starts off as a block of metal that gets put into the furnace, heated to high degrees. Then it gets put on the anvil and tempered and hit and hit and then back into the furnace again and hit and hit and back into the furnace until it is shaped into a weapon that the maker is worthy of. That's what God's doing in our lives. And sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes I feel like I haven't signed up for this. sometimes I go through and I look, Lord, why on earth am I going through all of this? But friends, it's in the difficulty that God is shaping us for the destiny that He has for us. C.S. Lewis said, hardships often prepare ordinary people for an extraordinary destiny. God has got a destiny for your life. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to be a YouTube, you know, phenomenon. And your videos are going to go viral. And you're going to just sit on the beach and money's going to roll in. You know, that is a pipe dream. That happens to very, very few people. But that destiny means that we are fulfilling the purposes of God and we are faithful to His call in the world that we live in. Your breakthrough may not come in the blaze of glory or because you found a shortcut. It may come precisely because you simply refused to back down. You didn't quit. You didn't give up. You stood firm. And friends, I want to encourage us that we would be like a lighthouse. That our lives would be a beacon of hope, firmly established on the rock. The winds and the waves can come, but that light continues to shine, and that light impacts and guides others to safety and brings the ships into harbor that would be restored, refreshed, and sent out again. That's what we are called to be as the light of the world. And so Paul finishes in the book of Philippians this encouragement. He's a pastor. He's speaking to believers and he wants to encourage them from prison. He's saying to them, I want you to stand firm. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, he says, therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord. Friends, this isn't a harsh command. It's not saying, hey, boys, got to grit it down. You got to get down on it. No. Friends, it's an invitation from someone who his heart is overflowing with love for the people that he served. And that should be our encouragement. We should take heart from this. So I want to leave you with three practical applications that you can do maybe as we reflect on what I've shared with us today. Firstly, I want to encourage you to check your foundation. What is your life built on? Is it built on the rock of Jesus or is it built on the sand? Because the guarantee is that the storms of life are going to come. The waters are going to rise and the wind and the waves are going to crash upon you. That is a guarantee. But when we've lived and built our lives on the rock of Jesus Christ, and He says that it is those who are not only hearers of His word, but doers of His word. When we're able to live a life that is worthy of the gospel, friends, we are able to stand firm. Secondly, I want to encourage you to lean into the Spirit. It's by the Spirit. Cultivate a lifestyle of worship and adoration for Jesus. I'm frustrated by the stat that I received and heard the other day that majority of Christians, for them, the only time they would read the Bible, pray, or worship would be when they come together on a Sunday. Majority. And for some, they only come once or twice a month, maybe even once or twice a year. But I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. And friends, that's not how you stand firm. You cannot stand firm if that's your habit and your life. You need to draw and lean into the Spirit and what God is doing with you as a community, which is my last point. Commit to the together. Stand firm together, friends. Lean into what God is doing with you as a community. Get into a life group. Connect into the growth track, volunteer, be part of the community that God's doing. Go out, send out, give, be a part of what God has called you to be here because He's planted you here. Because a tree that's planted can bear much fruit in every season. And I want to encourage you, friends, can we be a representation? When people look at you in my life, they say, these people from Grace Life, they are of one heart, one mind, and one voice. They are walking in the Spirit of God. They are leaning on the finished work of Jesus. And they are agents, kingdom agents, expanding the kingdom of God together. So I want to just take a moment to pray for us if I can. Yeah. Before we pray.
Yes. Why don't we stand together, friends? I think you know, we're told in the book of James, submit to the Lord, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If you think about those three things up there, in order to do those, I need to submit to something. So Jesus says in the Garden of Gethsemane, not my will be done, but your will be done. But a lot of us go, actually, not your will be done, my will be done. And then we wonder why we can't stand firm. So we know that it says that our earthly fathers disciplined us, and we respected them for that. Hebrews 12 says, how much more must we submit to the Father of spirits and live? And then he says, strengthen your weak hands, feeble knees. So that strengthening our weak hands and feeble knees and standing firm is directly correlated to our submission to the Father. So if we don't submit to him, because he's going to say, check your foundation. Be together, because this is the Father's will for us. Amen? And the more I'm submitted to him, the greater degrees of standing firm I can make. Does that make sense? And I don't know what you wanted to pray into, but if we could just do that, why don't we close our eyes for a minute? And if you feel that this is something you struggle with, and you go, matter of fact, some guys keep looking at me, so you know, say, well, I'm not going to close my eyes. Maybe you should start at closing your eyes. So you go, hey, Craig, you know, I struggle to submit to God. I understand that sometimes I have other things that prioritize my life. I need to submit to the Lord. I think Garrett's going to be praying to other things, but as he's praying, let's say to God, Father, help us or help me submit to you, that my arms and my hands and my knees will be strong enough to be able to stand and resist the enemy and walk into my future. So just keep our eyes closed. Gareth, if you can pray into.
Yes, Father God, first of all, Lord, I just want to thank you for every heart, Lord, that's saying, Lord, I want you to strengthen me, Lord. I want to be a vessel of honor, be used by you, Lord Jesus. Help me to look at my life, my priorities, the way I'm living, and how can I increase in my effectivity? How can I be more fruitful in this season? Lord, thank you for great godly leaders around them. Lord, each and every one of you, I want to encourage you. Lean on into your leaders. Have a conversation with them. Ask them to help you to make sense of some of the things you feel God's calling you to do. Lord Jesus, I thank you by your Spirit that you empower Grace Life Church to be more effective, more fruitful than ever before as they stand firm together for your glory, Lord Jesus. And friends, as we are just having our eyes closed, I want to just ask, some of you may be here today and you know that your life is not built on the foundation, the rock of Jesus. And you've actually been living your life for yourself and you're just feeling like, man, as I've been speaking, man, I need to commit my life to Jesus. I need to become part of this family. I need to become part of the kingdom of God. I want to be transferred from darkness into life. And I want to be brought into the kingdom of the Son of God. If that's you today, can I ask you to quickly raise your hand for me? I want to just give you a moment just to pray for you. If you want to just make Jesus the Lord of your life today, can be a recommitment, can be a first-time commitment. Thank you for those hands that are going up. Lord Jesus, I thank you for those who are responding right now. Lord, I know that for many of them, they're saying, I want to adjust my heart. But Lord, I pray for those, for each and every person, Lord, that they would come to know you nice and high. Just if you lift your hand nice and high for me. We've got a team of guys that are going to quickly come around to you. But as I'm praying for you right now, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower, that you would seal them today. The 18th of May would be the moment that they can say, this was the time I made a decision. Thank you, Father, that I know that as the word of God has been sown into their hearts, Lord, I pray that it would be fruitful ground, that it would bear much fruit, that the enemy will not snatch it away tomorrow when you feel like, well, was it really something? No, today you're making a decision to follow Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are adding them to a family that can lead them into more. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would empower them and fill them with your Spirit right now. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.